I was born bold.
Melbourne Airport Parking. Zero cost, drive up parking for all essential travel until June 30.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Friday, fun Friday, April the 3rd it is. Great to have you with us. Still a little McCafe menu nicely loaded up. Simon O'Donnell's going to join us, the new host of SEN Track, the former Australian all-rounder International Cricketer of the Year. I think Cleo Centrefold or Cleo Bachelor of the Year, one or the other, he'll tell us. Righto, we need to get
where are we at?
Where are we at is young Whippy Watson is a 13-year-old, enormous, prodigious footy talent that most of the AFL world are trying to track down. And we've heard stories about different clubs going up, helicopters. It started with Adrian Dodoro, Mark Harvey and Paul Vanderhaar, but it's now extended to a much greater chase. And inevitably, word was going to make its way to the media. Let's have a listen to the latest edition.
On SEN Breakfast, it's time for the adventures of Whippy Watson.
Stick me here, Wispy. Word had found its way to some of the biggest names the media has ever known about the exploits of young Whippy Watson, a gleaming white Holden statesman who was making its way to Dimbuka in an attempt to get the exclusive story. Mike Williamson was driving, Teddy Whitten was in the front, and in the back was none other than Scotty Palmer and Ray Slug Jordan. And sitting right in the middle of Slug and Ray in the back seat was Mike's trusty blue heeler, who answered to the name of Jezelenko. The group of immortals weren't paying much attention to where they were going and soon found themselves hopelessly lost in the middle of the Wimmera. Poring over an old map, Scotty suggested a shortcut. Let's go straight through this 3,000-acre farm. After 10 minutes of arguing, a fight had broken out. I think we should take this track through the middle of the paddocks, he said. EJ was having none of it.
Hit the boundary line.
But EJ, we can save an hour if we go up the middle.
Hit the boundary line.
Are you sure, EJ? He replied.
Hit the boundary line.
Mike Williamson had had enough of the arguing. Do what he says. EJ knows best. So they skirted around the boundary of the property and eventually they found the highway.
I tip this.
Mike said, with a little smug smile on his face. They'd only gone a couple of kilometres when they noticed a young lad in a very precarious position. He tried to jump a fence and he didn't realise that it was an electrified fence and he found himself awkwardly straddling it. And every time he moved, he got an electric shock to the old nurry bag that was lit up like a Christmas tree. The four media heavyweights all cringed before Slug Jordan broke the silence.
I think you've got to take the boy off.
So they hopped in. They hopped out and helped him out of his very delicate situation. EJ started laughing. You had a pretty similar problem like that when you were a young lad, Scotty. No one came to your help, though. In fact, your man didn't show you any sympathy at all. What did he suggest?
Send a bloke down with a gun. He was going to shoot my testicles off.
Mike was getting desperate. He somehow had made contact with Whippy's girlfriend, Sharon Streslecki, and had got a hold of one of Whippy's old jock straps. He called his trusty dog, Jezelenko, over and he gave him a quick sniff of the young star's underpants. Pick up the scent, boy. Where is he? Show us the way, fella. The dog's ears picked up, sniffing wildly at the jock strap. His tail stopped wagging and his whole body began to tremble. Find us the way to Dimbuka, boy. Take us to Whippy, fella. The dog bolted off, the scent of Whippy in his nostrils, finally putting the search party back on track. Williamson couldn't help himself.
Oh, Jezelenko, you beauty!
And they clambered back in the car to continue their journey. Would they make it to Dimbuka in time? Would they get the exclusive interview with the wonder boy of the Wimmera? Oh, dear. What a rendition. Whippy
How
what?
Dramatic was that? I never ever thought they'd pick up the scent again. That was extraordinary.
And it's Simon O'Donnell to continue the southern end, coming in to smell a bit of a rat night.
I've been replaying a bit of that lately. This man was the International Cricketer of the Year. He was the male model of the century. I think he was a Cleo Centrefold from memory, and he's now a star on SEN and will be host of SEN Track. Simon O'Donnell, what a joy it is for you to join us this morning.
Morning. Morning, Gary. Morning, Tim. And that smell of a rat Niker, he could play a bit too.
just a joy for us to have you on this morning. It is big racing, by the way, so we'll get to that in a moment. But there's lots of other stuff we want to talk about. Were you aware that there was a bonk ban and it's been overturned?
Oh, boy.
Yes, I was. A lot of people are pleased for it, Gary.
Indeed, and I've just been abused by Drew from Wonturna, who reckons, get your info right, the bonk ban was overturned by Dan Andrews again yesterday. He said visiting your partner you don't live with is not allowed. Well, that's not right, according to my information, Drew, so I'm just putting you right. And if you had a young 17-year-old daughter, as one of our callers did, Tim wasn't able to answer this for a Scuba, and she wanted her boyfriend to visit, what would your advice be?
Well, I think that'd be okay. As long as he's been in the proper isolation, Gary.
Would you put him through like a sheep dip before he came inside, Simon?
I think he should have a bit of a spray, Tim, yes. Yes, I would think a little bit of a hose down, if you like, just to cool him off.
One of those rubber bands, perhaps?
What? Well, you're not going to take the manhood off him, are you, Gary?
I was just keep him in check, Whisper, I would have thought. Hey, Scoob, we love you.
I thought just going with the sheep dip might have been enough.
Well, you can never be too certain these days. Your Saturday morning show's flying. You and Davey Taggart, I love listening to, and now your workload's about to get ramped right up with SEN Track.
Oh, well, last weekend we launched Gaz, we had a great Saturday with Dee Taggart, your executive producer there, Trent Machenhauer. He's probably one of the more controversial racing commentators we have in the game. He's prepared to put his reputation on the line. He has a couple of times. One day he walked into the station during our spring coverage and said, I'm going to tip the card today. He didn't tip a winner. Last week he said Night's Watch is a slug and it'll never win a race again in his life. He duly saluted. So Trent will be there on Saturday for everyone to ring up and abuse, which is going to be pretty much most of the fun of the day. But the key ingredient for us, we're all sitting at home in isolation, is we want people to enjoy their Saturday afternoons, enjoy what sport's left, and racing's the only sport left, of course, other than Tassie, who called things off yesterday. But we want people to think they're sitting in the pub on a stool with a palmer and a pot in front of them and a little bit of goggle box thrown in as well, watching the races.
Yeah, I caught that and I really enjoyed it. It was, you can't at the minute call the races live, but you can give updates. It's like, you know, when you are sitting there and you back something and all of a sudden it hasn't jumped. I love the comments, oh, it's stuck on the fence, and then eventually you get there. And that plays into Dave Taggart's warehouse, who I think is a shy, unassuming young man that needs to come out of his shell a bit, Scoot.
If we could just, and I did request it last week, and I think Hutchie's knocked it back because of the times we're in. So we need this to be being live streamed, because when the big fella, when the horse starts to loom and it's a chance at the 250, I've never seen, he becomes 6'7" tall and he has this this whippy action with his hands that he starts to print money and saying, here it comes, boys, here it is. I just go to Macchio, and off he goes with every one liner you've heard for the last 35 years in 12 seconds.
What I love about, and Tim, I know you don't listen from the racing point of view, but I can spend a whole afternoon, you know, just on the tractor or on the mower and listen to these boys, and they all give their tips, right? So, you know, Scoob gives his tip, and Davey Taggart, and whoever else, you know, if it's Trent, Trent's there. Then the horse race runs, right? It doesn't matter what's won, right? If David Taggart hasn't tipped the winner, right, it might be a bigger run than Farlap that won. The first voice you hear when they come back is, ah, geez, mine got stuck, the bloody stuck behind the slow horse, and got on the wrong part of the track. It's never, oh, well, I got that wrong. It's always, ah, oh, geez, he dropped his whip or he threw a shoe or something.
a bad run there in the spring at one stage. He gave Oliver, T. Oliver, some of the greatest players of all time. He's one of the world's great jockeys. T. Taggart was like, oh, no, you know, why wouldn't it? The 600, you start getting off the fence. And Flemington, they always say straight at Flemington. Has he ridden around there enough?
There you go. Yeah, but Dave, what about the horse that just broke the track record and was four wide and ran? Ah, but what about mine that didn't win? No, so
yeah,
it
Oliver
is.
Should
it
retire. His time's up, that Oliver. His time's up.
It's very entertaining. And I tell you what, you've got a bit to cover tomorrow. You've got four Group 1s in Sydney, which in any other year, you'd just be celebrating at the fact. But and I guess the footy dominates generally at this time of year, but our focus is very, very sharply going to be on Randwick tomorrow.
It certainly will be. It's a fantastic card of racing. I'm not exactly sure what Trent's going to dish up over the 6 hours. That's going to be interesting in itself. He's very tired after the week with you guys. He's already said to me that it's been such a tough week for him, getting up at 3 and finishing at 9. But that's okay. You know, 6 hour day. A lot of people are working a bit longer than that these days. But, you know, Trent seems to think that his job's the only one that anyone ever does. So,
he's doing a very good job.
We look forward to his content tomorrow. He's going to hate me tomorrow. No, he'll stick it into me tomorrow. Look, it is a great day. We're not going to see it, obviously. But, you know, the Australian Derby, is always a fantastic race. And there's four or five genuine chances. Often you'll get to a Derby and there's, you know, maybe two, but I think, you know, probably there's half a dozen horses that are a genuine shot over the mile and a half tomorrow. So that's going to be a ripper race. But again, you know, depending on what I tip and where it is in running will depend on how exciting the race is. Because if mine's out of the race halfway through, I don't give a stuff.
Hey, we will be listening. We'll be tuning you. I certainly will be. And I know our audience will enjoy this different look at racing at the moment on SEN Track. But tell us we're about to speak in the next hour to Jeff Thompson, because Wisp reckons he and him are best mates. He reckons that he wanted him as his best man at his wedding, but he couldn't make it. That's how close they are. What can you tell us about Tomo? Did you play with him?
Yes. I went on the 1985 tour with Tomo, and he kept telling me to walk behind him, not in front, and show some respect, and that was all okay. You know, I copped that. Being from Deniliquin, I thought, I'm used to walking behind my dad and showing him respect. I showed Tomo respect. If he gets time to tell you the babysitting story from Leicester at the hotel at Leicester, you will run out of air in your lungs laughing.
Well, is it appropriate for a morning breakfast program, Simon?
No, it's fine for a morning breakfast show. Now, also, you're not sure exactly how Tomo might colour it up. Tomo's Tomo. It is one of the funniest cricket episodes I've ever been involved in. And still to this day, and while I'm sitting here right now, I've got a big smile on my face just remembering how it transpired. I hope Tomo's got time to explain it to you, the little mishap he had with his babysitting issue at Leicester.
I reckon we'll have time. I reckon we'll have time for that. While you've been talking too, because you're a man off the land, and we were talking about actually running the boyfriend through a sheep dip outside before you allowed them inside. What about the practice of actually having the boyfriend some mulesing as well? Are you familiar with that term, Simon, mulesing?
I'm starting to think there's not a lot of respect for the boyfriend.
That's Gary.
A bit of mulesing around as well.
Gary, that's the removal of strips of wool bearing skin from around the buttocks of a
sheep. I know what it is, stupid.
No,
I've got sheep, idiot. I know
you
exactly
had no
what
idea.
I did so.
I don't mean to take. Gary talks with a lot of wisdom on racing. He's had some great experience in racing. I've been lucky enough to be involved in racing for over 30 years. I owned a horse with Gary once. it went to have its first start at Ballarat. It's never happened again anywhere in the world as far as I know. The horse actually laid down in the mountain.
All right. Tell the whole story and tell it properly. Scoob goes, oh, I got this great horse here. Buy into this horse. And so a few of us did, right? I've told you. He goes, oh, no, yeah, it's trialing beautifully. Oh, it's running it going around. I'm going up. Give us your money. We'll put it. It's going to win. So we send all the money up with Simon, who struts to the parade ring with his chest out and thinks he's got this winner, and they put the jockey on the horse, Tim, and the Tim and the horse just lay down on its side. And then the jockey sort of fell off and the horse jumped up again. And they went, oh, that's unusual. I'm going to have another crack at this. And they put the jockey back up and it laid down again. And Simon just slowly backed away from the ring, backed out of the course and got in his car and drove home. So that was a good start. That was well done for you.
Mobile phones were just invented. I thought my car was going to explode. Gary with a double R. the footnote to that story, which is fantastic, in the race we had everyone's name. But my name was S.P. O'Connell. I thought I'll be using that one.
All right. Very nice work by you this morning. keep up the good work tomorrow. Yeah. We'll be tuned in.
Lovely to chat, so.
So such a serious conversation. That, does he know it's Fun Friday? We're supposed to be having some fun.
Yeah, no, he's our sort of racing expert. He and Richo, fair two favourites. So that is a true story, and that was nearly the end of my racing. Anyway, we move.
And Stuart wants to know. He's in his 60s. He wants to know whether he needs to go through the sheep dinners.
You might need the rubber band, Stewie. That's for sure. Let me get onto the right page here. We're here for Melbourne Airport parking. Zero cost drive up parking for all essential travel until 30th of June. We will take a break. We'll be back with more after. Thank you very much, Meredith. Keep your messages coming through too. They keep us interested and they keep us informed and entertained, Tim. So keep them coming through. Lots of cars coming through as well. And a lot of people saying just hang in there with the Tiger King. Just gets better and better. Are you going to give that a go, Wisp?
Yeah, look, after talking to Mitch last night,
I'm not sure Mitch is a Tiger King sort of setup.
He was very cold on it, Gary. Very, very cold on it.
Righto, you came up with some big news this morning. You said that half of the NBA are coming over and buying up NBL teams. You said one of our great friends, our personal friends, LaMelo Ball, has bought a share of the Illawarra Hawks. Well, I said we only talk to one man when it comes to basketball, and that man's Andrew Gaze, and he's joined us on the line this morning. G'day, Gazey.
Good morning, Gary, and good morning, Tim. I didn't know you had such a intimate and personal relationship with LaMelo, so I'm really keen to get the intricate details because I've heard a lot about a potential deal and perhaps you can enlighten us all.
Well, you only have to listen to our interview to know how close LaMelo and me and the Wisp are. But what you tell Gazey what you told me this morning, Whispers?
Well, I said this morning, and this was straight off the wires overnight on ESPN, they'd reported that LaMelo Ball and his manager, Jermaine Jackson, one of the five Jackson 5 members, had bought the Illawarra Hawks. Now, there is a media release that has gone out from the NBL, which I have in my hot little hand at the moment, and they are saying that at this stage we are continuing to work with the current license holder Simon Stratford on a number of options. So obviously Simon wasn't aware of the fact that they'd actually sold this underneath him. And we are hoping for a fruitful outcome for Illawarra and the NBL. We will not be making any further comment at this stage. So Gazey, what can you tell us about what's going on?
Well, that's pretty much what I've heard in regards to LaMelo, and I think it extends beyond LaMelo, of course. He's going to be a very wealthy man. He's a high probability of being a very, very high draft pick. Some were suggesting he might be number one pick, whenever that draft may be for the NBA coming up. But I think clearly it takes more than him and at his very young age to make a decision like that, because it's not an easy program to run. But yes, it has been part of the conversation. But I heard about this conversation during the season and even prior to the season. And it's one of those things you sort of dismiss a little bit to think, well, it might be just a bit of propaganda or a young kid perhaps getting caught up in the sexy nature of being an owner and all the good things that go along with that. But it does appear as though that it does have some merit. And if he's got the right team around him, then I think that it could be a fantastic relationship.
What does it say about the current licence holder, though, that statement that has been put out by the NBL? Does that mean... I'm being a bit mischievous here, but does it say that he wasn't aware of what has taken place? Well, is that sort of the way to read it?
There's a number of things that you could read into it. And this is me with nothing more than just a gut feel. But the way I read into that statement is that he is aware of these conversations going on. He no longer wants to be involved. He wants to offload the team, but he feels that there needs to be some level of compensation before the league moves on. That's how I would read into it. But that's just an absolute 100% guess on the basis of putting together some of the information that you hear over the journey about the owner and about LaMelo and this potential deal.
Well, Gazy, Gary and I have flirted with the idea of becoming an NBL team owner as well. How many sheets would we need to put together to buy one of these teams?
If anyone can do it, because I know that the types of income that you guys have generated over the years, so you would have the paper required to run a team, but you would need to be able to get rid of that paper, spend that paper for a considerable amount of time. So I don't think the issue with this situation in regards to buying the team, I don't think that's going to be in the big scheme of things, the big ticket item. The big ticket item is, of course, running the team and getting through this period of growth and being able to put in place a program that you can afford, with a potential of a longer-term vision to say, well, there may be some level of return at some stage in the distant future.
Well, we have spoken about this at length, and we look and are very close to buying the Melbourne Tigers franchise.
Right.
And we are going
to pick them up for a song these days.
Save money by introducing an older roster. And
I like
it. Have Gaze, Bradkey.
Yes.
And Copeland.
Yes.
They're the only three we're going with. And then any kid that wants a game can walk through the door and just play with those three.
Well, as long as that kid that walks through the door understands the role, that they need to be a distributor, not a finisher. As long as they're prepared to distribute, they are welcome into that little posse that we're putting together.
And we're also thinking of dusting off Lindsay Gaze and inserting him as the cocker of this new team too.
It would be rude if you didn't. You might need to just get the glasses going. His vision's not all that great at this point.
It doesn't matter.
So
we're not fast about that.
Right, okay. I like it. I like where you're heading. I think it's got merit and it's got some legs.
And in the biggest cost saving, we are going to have no cheerleaders. We are just going to replay Gazy dancing in front of his kids on a continual
loop.
On TikTok.
I like it. I like it a lot. And if you saw the rhythm, and this is one of the things that sort of passed over people, I want you to go back, Gaz, and have a good hard look at that.
I can't.
Go back, and if I don't get the three votes for that performance, then you're a poor judge. Because I tell you, I love my kids dearly, but I was expressing myself in a way that deserted the three votes.
No, you were absolutely magnificent. Just getting back on Lindsay for 1 minute, we need to get the jumper leads out to get him started.
Well, he may just need a little assistance going from the coaching box into the change rooms. So there could be some issues there, but no, he's in pretty good health. But no, he probably will need a bit of a spell every now and again because he just needs a bit of a rest.
Okay, we won't take him on the road. We'll just have him for the home games.
I like it. Well, these days, the way you blokes are working remotely these days, there might be some sort of setup that we can put in place that allows him just to sit at home and give the instructions from there.
We're going to hook him up to house party so he can, if the big boys are going no good, he can just get into some sort of a rave party coming his way, get him distracted.
I see the house party app is well, provided you don't get the setbacks like I do from my kids where they don't let you into the party, but it is not a bad little arrangement if you've ever had a crack at it.
Hey, Gary Gacy, remember? Do you remember this? You're going to have to cast your mind back a long way here. Mm-hmm. But can you remember the Wisp guarding you when the Globetrotters played against the Melbourne Tigers at the old basketball arena?
I don't mean to be rude, but but that is not at the forefront of my memory. Perhaps if I go back and take some time, but no.
You can remember the globe-trotting team that played in that same competition.
Word.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
No, I
can't. I did guard you, and I think I kept you to. I think you had 6 points for the game. I tell you what, you didn't mind taking a shot Six. Though.
No, let me tell you, Tim. Honestly. I would have set all-time records. I've seen you with a ball in your hand, and a tremendous football. Take nothing away from you, but I don't know whether your skill set's transferred into the basketball arena like some of the others.
Well,
so
clearly,
my eyes would light up if you were around the joint.
Alistair Lynch reckons he's a good basketballer, Gazy. Is that true or not?
Lynchy, well, he sets a hell of a screen, and he came down and played. He played with us on a Monday night comp in the domestic, and there were times where. Sometimes, you know how you have white line fever. He just didn't understand the spirit of competition. And it's a rare skill, but one that you don't... When I was coaching, very rarely did I speak to scouts and go, and someone would come back to me and say, you know what he does extraordinarily well, which is his calling card? He screams. Now, that's not usual. That is a nice trait to have, but if that's what you're hanging your hat on, you're not going to be well paid.
Andrew, you've put a smile on our face every single
Always.
Time we speak to you, and you've done it again today, my friend. Thanks for jumping on.
Good on you, boys. All the very best.
The great
See you, guys.
For LK Diesel Service, your Kubota Power Pumps and Kubota Generator experts, you can visit lkdiesel.com.au. A break. Phil Marshall's got some news. Sammy Edmonds is going to join us next.